From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. Libyan security forces have shot and killed protesters in the second day of Benghazi today as political unrest continues to sweep across the Middle East. British Foreign Secretary William Hague says it is unacceptable the way Libyan authorities are responding to protests there. Human Rights Watch says at least 84 people have been killed in 4 days of demonstrations. The internet was shut down today. It was the main source protesters have been using to communicate and coordinate their activities. Hague says authorities must listen to the people's demands for political change and the army must be reined in.
We want to make clear to the Libyan government that just because there aren't television cameras present, that does not mean that the world is not watching. That doesn't mean that the world is going to ignore the way in which protesters and demonstrators are treated.
A witness told Reuters snipers were firing on protesters from a fortified lookout. Foreign journalists have not been allowed into Libya since the protests began. In Bahrain, a sense of jubilation as protesters have regained control of the main city square. NPR's Peter Kenyon says the troops have withdrawn from the place that has come to symbolize the protesters' cause.
There was a good deal of concern that there was going to be clashes, that there would be shooting like there was yesterday, but the military had been redeployed elsewhere, and the riot police had also left, and these people streamed into the roundabouts unaffected, and there's now a scene of joyous celebration. A complete turnaround in the emotional feel here in just 24 hours, less than 24 hours, since the shootings that took place right here yesterday afternoon.
NPR's Peter Kenyon in Manama. The main opposition demands include the release of political prisoners, the resignation of the government, and talks on a new constitution. The State House in Madison, Wisconsin, swelled again today with tens of thousands of protesters. But this time, they included Tea Party activists who support Republican Governor Scott Walker's plan to cut state workers' benefits. NPR's Larry Abramson reports there were no apparent confrontations between supporters and critics of the legislation.
All week long, critics of the governor's plan have had the run of the Capitol building in Madison with little opposition. But thousands of Tea Party supporters and others showed up Saturday to hear speakers like Herman Cain, a talk show host and likely presidential candidate.
Wisconsin is broke. My question to the other side, what part of broke don't y'all understand?
At the same time, union members and other opponents of the legislation continue their marches through the streets. Governor Walker has given no sign he will back down, saying his bill is the only way to balance the state's budget. And there's still no word on whether Democratic senators will return to the Capitol to permit a vote on the bill. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Madison, Wisconsin.
Organized labor is taking advantage of the protests in Wisconsin and more than a dozen other states by working to re-energize the base. President Obama offered tactical support to union leaders. This is NPR. An American couple that made it their mission to hand out Bibles around the world had their yacht hijacked by Somali pirates. U.S. officials say they're assessing their options. Pirates say the yacht will make landfall in Somalia tomorrow. If that's true, chances of rescuing Gene and Scott Adams diminishes significantly. Pirates took the yacht 2 days after a Somali pirate was sentenced to 33 years in prison in New York for hijacking a different vessel in 2009. After a two-day meeting in Paris, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke, and the world's other top economic policymakers are pledging to reduce trade imbalances. But as Steve Beckner of Market News International reports, there is no concrete plan on how to do that.
Group of 20 finance ministers and central bankers' task was to come up with guidelines for measuring global imbalances. The U.S. runs a huge deficit with China. The latter has built massive dollar reserves. Some fear these imbalances will lead to the next financial crisis. But the U.S. and China remain at odds over China's practice of fixing its currency's exchange rate to the dollar. Geithner calls the yuan undervalued, helping China build its trade surplus. But China remains unwilling to fully submit its policies to G20 scrutiny. The group agrees on the need to reduce excessive imbalances and on a set of indicators to measure them, but at China's behest, there is no mention of currency reserves. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner in Paris.
The Republican-controlled House passed a measure early this morning to cut $61 billion from hundreds of programs and relax environmental standards on business. The House sent the bill to the Senate, where it faces an uphill battle. The $1.2 trillion budget covers every cabinet agency through September 30th. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.